the first thing to go is the fear, saith the Spirit of grace. For even those fine line areas which are harder to be detected, because there seems to be nothing that's blatant. But know this, the more that you're absorbed by me, and the more that I can take over, that I trade all weaknesses for strength, saith the Spirit of grace. And the first thing to go, whether detected or undetected, is fear. Fear and torment. Predominantly, that fear that has any suggestion of whether I will or I won't. For I say unto you, in Christ, all my promises are yea and amen, amen to them that believe. Saith the Spirit of grace.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you.
For practice these things and believe me against all odds, and you'll find yourself growing by leaps and bounds. And the reward and even the promise that things are changing towards a more notable day of power will be the absence of fear and torment, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you. Praise
you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Paul, he said, I didn't come to you with words alone, but I came to you with the demonstration of those words. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's one thing to know doctrine. It's one thing to preach a good message. But the backup of that message is whether or not you can believe. And the very power can come and demonstrate itself. And that's been given to all of you. Hallelujah. Now, I don't see what I'd like to see this morning, although you're all beautiful. But I'd love to see a whole church full of cripples and blind eyes and people back there twitching and switching, and I'd love it, because fear keeps going away in big bunches.
Hallelujah.
And the reason why a lot of people won't pray for blatant kinds of impossibilities is they fear that once they've prayed, nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And everybody will still be looking and asking big questions. Mm-hmm. I ask you, put me and yourself under the gun. Bring them. Go out and find them that we can stand here on a daily basis, because we're going to get a bunch of them through. And the more we get through,
Hallelujah.
The more we'll get through.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
We want to
please you, Father.
Hallelujah.
You do the works anyway.
That is just okay.
Hallelujah.
Now this, he said, by instruction, so you'll know. This is what was lacking or has been lacking. Or some of you have had questions about the comparison to what you see in the Word in reflection to what you see in the church, the modern church. But know this, those people put me on the spot, and I came and proved myself to them, saith the Spirit of grace. When you put me in a position to be God, then I can show up
yes.
as God.
Yes.
But when you find and look for every other kind of source before you've exhausted yourself in me, then I'm very limited in the supernatural. And I'll come along with everything else that you try to add and squeeze myself into any place that you give me. But know this, those that will be strong and do exploits will be those who stand on a blatancy of my word and say, okay, God, prove that you are God and watch me like I did for them, I'll do for you, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I think you need to stand up and lift those hands and magnify Him. Hallelujah. I worship you, Jesus. I praise you and give you all the praise, all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the glory, all the praise, and all the honor to you, Jesus. You can quietly be seated. What a time to look forward to the revival that sandwiched in between. The next long stay, whether we're caught up and are gone briefly, doesn't matter, or just go right on in it. What would be 7 years? It's nothing. The next long stay I've got here is in a glorified body living out that song. Hallelujah. With you, I get to be with you. And you helped me. And this wasn't my vision, it was yours. That we could present to Him something. Come on back, this is yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's where your reward will be, is how close, even while being a mama and a daddy and running a business or fighting impossible odds, how close you still were able to separate yourself and say, there's something bigger than me and there's something bigger than mine. And I just want to join and say, because one day, if we don't stop, and I'm betting we won't, they'll come in and we'll cry and cry and cry because we'll say, it really did happen right before His coming. They filled up coliseums. They'll fill up football fields. Hallelujah. Praise God. But right now, they just keep coming and going. We got, thank you all on Candy's behalf for praying. Last night, we got a beautiful opportunity. I'd been staying in the house and then running back and forth to see her mom, and all the brothers and sisters were there. She called and said, if you come now, I don't think she'll be here when you get here, but the family wants you to pray or to be with us. And I got there and fellowshipped a while and laid down in a spare bedroom, and Candy came and got me in about 30 minutes and said, this is it. So the greatest thing that you'll ever do is stand around mama or daddy, lift your hands, and we were just worshiping God. It's a real quiet and real peace. And not, they left all that, they had morphine and stuff they'd put in the refrigerator for a week. She never had to touch it. There was no pain whatsoever. Hallelujah. No sedatives, nothing. Just breathed their last and went on to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. She was tough. Just a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, she called me on the phone in intercession. I mean, even a couple days ago, she kept making these cameo, you know, appearances. We'd say, well, this is within the next few hours. And then she'd wake up. And one time they went in there a couple days ago, and she'd crawled out of bed and got past the railing, got up and was sitting in a chair when they walked in there. That's how tough she was. But she was waiting for some things, and some miracles took place. A child came home that had been gone for many years and just gave herself totally to the family and to mother. She was a great woman of God, and never had a problem. She always took the right side because she is a mother-in-law. This is the way you in-laws should be. She from the very beginning, when I was 17, she let all her in-laws know this. If there's ever a problem, which there never has been, she let us know she was taking our side. And that's the best way to build a family. Hallelujah. Which there never was a problem. But if the mother-in-laws will make the son-in-laws feel like they're totally theirs, and the daughter-in-laws feel like they're totally theirs, there is no room for problems. Hallelujah. And my mom was a wonderful friend of hers, and for 30, we've been married 30, going on 33, and so we dated two, so 35 years. They never had one cross word and loved each other like two sisters all the way to the end. Hallelujah. That's the way it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. And I just was jealous, you know, because I knew what was going on. They had all those brothers. She's got nine of them. Well, one's deceased now. And then another one was just a few miles down the road. It spent all day and then didn't make it. So there was seven or eight of them in there. It's a little tiny room, but I could. When I lifted my hands, one time I saw her breathe, and then I lifted my hands and was releasing her, and then there was no more breathing. But I knew the beauty of the moment, at least through the darkness which I can see. I see enough through His Word that it's real plain. And Mama Payne, she's been with us for years. I appreciate her so much, don't you? I was visiting Dad Payne in Corkscrew one time when he was going through it, and he told me, he said, "Boy, just never fear it. Don't fear death." So they brought him back one time. He totally died. And he said, "It's the easiest. You'll never do in this life anything any easier than that. It's like you just," he said, "the body and the spirit separate so naturally. It's like if you were in your house and you took one step from the living room into the kitchen or just like taking a glass of water. I mean, it just, there's no trauma in it. There's no pain." He said, "I stepped out of my body and just the separation of it was absolute." Well, he had more years to spend at that time, so God put him back in. They were able to revive him. But here's the deal. To those that are in Christ Jesus, hallelujah. We know where we're going, and we have all that absolute peace. At that moment in time when that spirit steps out and I'm 10 fingers and 10 toes and eyeballs, and the only thing is, all of a sudden, in a moment's time, I mean in a moment's time. Now, you're a human being. I do know a lot about this from the Word that I can tell you, you don't turn into an angel. you don't grow wings, and you're still human. The only thing is, and just from one heartbeat to the next, your spirit steps out and a beauty pageant has taken place. Because you go from 86 back to a place where your prototype, see, this is what your prototype was cut off at 33 and a half and ascended at 33 and a half. So nobody in heaven will ever look any older than your lamb, your prototype. Even the Father, somebody said, oh, the Father, so he's old and he's gray. How can God get old? You'll get there. In fact, most of us look older than him right now. He's sitting there, a handsome, not man, but he is an image and a form. And your prototype, the lamb, is sitting next to him. Handsome, handsome, beautiful. And you step out of an 86-year-old body like she did. And my God, oh, in 2 seconds time, pageant has taken place, and there's no need for makeup or makeovers. You are gorgeous again. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I was envious, and it's just so wonderful to be in that place of peace. Hallelujah. It really is. Praise God. I can't wait for those days to come, but sandwiched in between, which lets me know it's getting real close, is a great outpouring. Hallelujah. A great outpouring of His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Did the Holy Ghost filled astronomically, unbelievably, way past proportionate man of God, Hayden, come in today? Yes. Hallelujah. He is here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you can slip by and get a peek in a moment. But lift your hands. Father, we love you. We give all the glory and all the praise and honor. Thank you for it. Give you praise for all these that are here. We love you and bless you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And it's so good to have my beautiful wife back. You know that it's really of disastrous proportions when both sinks are filled and the dishwasher can't be closed and you need help. But I learned to turn the dishwasher on and wash clothes. I tell you, don't ever tell. It'll never happen again. Hallelujah. All right, would you please just stand, and why don't you go around and greet somebody and give them a great big hug.
We're going to have a good time a little bit later, as we already are having a good time, but we want to continue to receive communion this week, and then we'll be doing that right up to the worship service this coming Friday. We'll have a extended worship Friday night, and then I think next Saturday, any of you that wanted to, you're certainly welcome to come to Candy's mom's memorial. It'll be here Saturday at 1 o'clock, so you're all invited. But stay around this morning for communion. Hallelujah. Deanne? And please spare us saying anything about grandkids or anything. So don't.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I got to say something this morning. It's about my precious sister-in-law. I love you. She is such an awesome woman of God. She really is. She has been so stable all of my life, off and on, since I've known her. She's more like a sister than a sister-in-law. But I was thinking on the way out here this morning, I was thinking, man, I hope Candy's there. I know everything that she's going through, and I know her family's right there. But gosh, I sure would miss her anointing. That presence up on the stage that God has anointed her with. And I know we're all blessed by it. And I am so blessed this morning with her unselfish spirit and being here. I love you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the woman at the well that came to Jesus. I've been practicing that song this week. And the Holy Spirit was talking to me about it this morning. And, you know, the Father told her, Jesus told her at the well, said that if you'd drink of me, you would never thirst again. I'd place inside of you, in you, a well that would spring forth. Never thirst again. Never thirst again. You know, if you're a child of God, we never have to thirst for who He is or what He has, because He's placed it on the inside of us. We don't have to concern ourselves with healing or blessings. It's all running like a river inside of us. Amen. And I was thinking this morning, I was telling Dalton and Gerald, the Lord gave me a picture of it this morning. You know, we've all viewed the oil spill in the Gulf and watched that gusher come up. And just recently they capped it. But it doesn't mean that the oil's not there. The oil's still there. The oil's still there. And you know, if you're a child of God, you feel like sometimes that the well is capped. But the truth is, the fact of sickness or finances might be there, but the truth is the well is still there. It's always there. God doesn't withdraw it. It's always there. We just may need to uncap the well. Amen. Spending time with Him, praying in tongues, renewing our mind to who we are in Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to receive all this. And let's turn to John, the 13th chapter. To just stretch your faith this way. Pray for me. Father, I thank You for these, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Abba, I thank You for that river. Most of all, I love You so much. And I thank You for their love, one for another, and for everything that You're doing to perfect us in that love. And against all odds, and against a mad man that's been released in the earth, against the fight, against the war, and against everything that he could levy against the church, we still continue to progress in life and in love. And I give You all the praise. And I receive anybody that's praying for me now, their whispers of prayer, I receive those and I thank You for them, Father. Not only past now, but past these days and going into You with all of my heart, soul and mind and body. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When you realize the kingdom that we've been given and this river that has no end. The greatest thing that you can possibly do is pursue Him relentlessly, finding that there is no end. But the other part that He gives you, it's not the higher end, but it's absolute
only part of everything that you need to win. And that's a healthy respect for your adversary. If you respect him, not as in worship, reverential worship, fear like that, but if you in sobriety live with hands and your heart raised up, with your eyes on Jesus, but also knowing that as your commander-in-chief, that all wisdom proceeds from Him and an ability to understand your foe. If you're giddy and want to dance on the grave of your enemy and act like, oh, because we're seated with Him in heavenly places, yes, you are. And besides for that, you are declared dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. But out of that, rapport also comes, all the instruction you need. As a commander-in-chief would sit down and instruct his troops. And also the intricate, intimate, insightful instruction for you as an individual to overcome anything inside your life that could ever be and could presently be an instrument of war against you. Then you're bound for success. You'll live old and you'll die successful in Christ and you'll keep your peace against all odds. But if you dance giddy on the grave of your enemy saying he has no power against me and I have no plans to learn anything except blessing, 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 blessing. I don't want to hear the fight. Nah. Take your fight and go someplace else. You'll be in an ash. You'll be in an ash dump someplace. 10 years later, twiddling your thumbs and wondering, how did I get here? An ash dump of burn up parts of your life. Body wrecked with pain, emotional difficulties, children here, there, everywhere, wondering why and how. Because if you learn who you are and who He is, with the sobriety of all that combined is this, you don't have to be the one who polices your life. You don't have to be the one stationary guard as a sentry saying, oh, wonder which way he's going to come in next. But you do have to do this. You have to center your whole life on your commander-in-chief knowing this, that there's two sides of all this. There's the side which He wants you to become totally enthralled in, which is the blessing going higher and higher and higher. But with every higher and higher, you've got to understand this. There is a mad hatter. There is a madman called Satan. He is loose in the earth and he does not play fair. And he has plans. He has plans just like God has plans. The only thing is, praise God, I can stand and say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And every plan will come to nothing. Thank God. Hallelujah. When God said, this isn't even where we're supposed to be going, so I know now He's prophesying. When He said in that garden, He said, you're reduced. He was really talking to an angel. That angel was none other than one who actually had a throne room experience. This man, say, why do you call him a man? Well, in his end state, when that angel comes down in the book of Revelation, cast him in. Doesn't say an archangel, doesn't say a high-ranking angel. Says one descends and wraps him in chains and casts him in. And the nations of the world will walk by and narrowly. Well, narrowly means to peep. Doesn't mean to stare like, oh. They'll narrowly look upon him and say, Is this the man that caused all of the struggle on planet Earth? Wars were fought. Billions were killed. Babies were massacred. Families were divorced and homes were shattered because of him. And yet, from the very beginning, God said, because you have done this thing, you're reduced to eat the dust of the earth. He said, you will bruise the seed of the woman. You'll bruise his heel, meaning Christ, but he will crush your head. The salvation that came forever cast him out of whosoever will receive Christ. Hallelujah. Now let's just think for a moment. Before you ever were born again, God put a chain on him. He reached out in his sovereignty, looking at humanity, and said, you'll eat the dust of the earth, meaning he reduced him, even though he was an angel, he reduced him to a place and put him under the common natural workings of humanity. Now, I read where God sent an angel from heaven to an Assyrian army, and in one night, just one night, one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians. Whew, just like this, just took their breath away. And the next morning, the armies of Israel went out. 185,000 men, a quarter of a million almost of people dead in hours' time, just because an angel showed up. They have power. If Lucifer would have been not reduced in his state, he could have come and have taken and killed all of the generations of men. At any given time, he could have moved laterally, horizontally, physically. He could have come in and just killed you right on the spot, just because he wanted to. The only thing is, even before you're born again, to all of humanity, God said, you're reduced underneath. You will eat dust and you're reduced underneath humanity. He usurped as much of his authority as he could. Today, he can't kill you. He can't just walk up, an angel walk through a wall, walk over and take your breath away. He can't even take your mind or emotions. He has to do it through the way that he originally came into the garden. He has to do it through deception. He has to get you to begin to question the Word of God. He has to begin to nickel and dime you into a place where you begin to believe the lie. If he could, he would have. He would have already wiped all of us out. If he could have. If he could have blatantly just stepped up to humanity, he'd have killed us all way beyond this point in time. Way before this time. He was reduced under the dust. His power to work as an angel against mankind was reduced. Now, the only thing he's got going for him is a high level of deception. But if you don't understand his deception, and you take him with a giddy kind of, well, he's out there, but let's talk about the blessings of God. That stuff spooks me out. I'm going to tell you this. The more you go to your commander-in-chief, the more he loves on you, strips away fear, and also teaches you to walk into a place where you're also cognizantly and spiritually aware that your enemy wants. If you love Jesus with all your heart and you're intended to receive an outpouring, your enemy wants to take your face right off your body if he could. He can't do it now blatantly. So he's got to have a long-term plan of offense and destruction and squeeze in this and squeeze in that until he neutralizes you into a place to where that river that is a river that can absolutely stand on planet Earth. And Paul said at the end of chapter 8 of Romans, what can separate us? Can death? Can life? He was naming spirits. He said, the caverns of the deep, whatever any spirit could possibly manage to create as in some kind of deep isthmus of just, I mean, something so diabolical. It had depth to it or height that it just seemed like you couldn't pass over it. It was impassable. It was an impasse. He said, what can separate us? I am persuaded that life, death, principality, power, doesn't matter. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Simple. If all the forces of hell just divorced the world and said, we'll take a day off, Satan. What do you want us to do? Well, I think what I'll do is, come out of every cancer victim. Come out of every epilepsy. Come out of every demon-possessed person. Come out of every insane, vile, every perverted child molester. I want all my principalities to come together today. We're going to go have a feast. We're going to descend upon some little one that was just born again. Let's all focus. Let's all step forward. Let's all go to their address. Let's squeeze ourselves in. Millions and millions of us. All of everything that Satan could put together. Paul says this. Nothing with all of them combined can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Well, then how does he do it? Well, he's going to have me read, but I can see he's prophesying more than anything else. He's got to do it through deception. If you count him as a worthy foe and learn his methods of deception, you're doubly hated. But then again, he can't do anything about it. Because you walk in a place where you understand his MO, his mode of operation. What he's got to do is he can't come through a literal spirit walking through a wall and killing you or putting depression on you or taking some promise of the Word away from you. What he's got to do is he's got to come through flesh and blood. Or he's got to come through a pretense and offer something to your body and get you to begin to suspect and say, oh, well, I don't know what this is. But usually when it comes to a place like we're going to share like this, he'll come through something that somebody intentionally or unintentionally, and usually it's not them out there. It's not them. We could hardly care less. We count them as the world. That's why Jesus said, if you can't win your brother, I mean, you go back to him and you take, and he said, where two or three agree as touching any one thing, and that agreement was this. The whole process was this. You went to them, you tried, they no. Then you took a witness, and they said no. He took two witnesses. They said no. Then he said, give it to the church. And then he said, if two or three will agree. Now, the two or three that will agree was the intercessors that held you up in the whole thing and said, we got to win them back. We got to win them back. But he said, if they didn't, then treat, he said, let them be unto you. Not you unto them. Not don't you be that to them. But he said, let them be unto you as a heathen and as a publican. Meaning this, you don't treat them. You yourself don't treat them as a heathen and publican, but let them be as unto you. You perceive them as a heathen and a publican. Meaning that if they're outside of the body of Christ and you're persecuted outside of the body of Christ, you say, oh, that doesn't matter. That's just their nature. They've got the devil is their father. But then when it comes inside the body, it usually stings and people aren't ready for it. And they say, oh my God, I thought we were going to a church that loved one another. And I don't understand this. We're in revival and we're supposed to be going forth. Well, how else is he going to come? He's not going to come by the guy that flips you off going down the road. You don't care. You know he needs help. He needs Jesus. He's not going to offend you so much through the guy that tries to cheat you out of your money in the world. Where he's going to come is that fine line on a level of where the love of God is supposed to be circumventing. It's like he's diminished. He hated it. God stripped him and said, you can no longer be an angel and kill people at your will. And if God could have stripped him all the way down to nothing, to his skivvies, he would have. The only thing is the blood of Jesus had to be It had to be shed to strip him completely. Now, as God is concerned, Satan is totally stripped off of you as a born-again believer. But he can, because we're living in this earth, he can come back and offer continually, daily, 10 times a day, monthly, avenues to believe his lie. And when you step into his lie, then you step into his domain. But there is nothing that he can do. When you drag him over and pull him into the realm of love, you have totally neutralized everything that he is. He cannot function inside the agape of God. Usually, when offenses come, then the next thing that usually comes is, even without you realizing it, without us realizing it, is loose lips. And the thing about it is, here's the other major part of the deception. While the lips are loose, and something's being said here or something's being said there, nothing changes. Nothing really changes per se in your walk, you don't think. And that's the deception, because you can get by with it for a long time. You'll still be walking in health. You'll still be walking in blessing. You'll still, seemingly, your joy will be there. And you'll think, that's the other part of the deception. You'll think, well, they deserve, you know, even though every once in a while I got something to say about it, they really deserve it because they're really walking out of order and they shouldn't have done that. And then sometimes you'll defend somebody else and you think you're doing good to defend somebody else. And because nothing happens, like God doesn't come down and slap you, the finances don't necessarily dry up, and you think something in the back of your mind will say, I'm getting away with this. I'm kind of getting away with this. And evidently God doesn't mind because the checks are still coming in and all the kids are still healthy. Your adversary is a smart cookie. He's waiting for you and for us to walk out of a place of agape and continue to cross lines that we can't hardly even see, waiting for the place where he can dam up those rivers and that wellspring. But you and I have the Holy Ghost that cannot lie and teaches us all truth. He'll pray for us on a daily basis and utter the mysteries. And when things are, when beaver dams are being built over there, and you just realized, wow, wait a minute. I thought what I was saying was truth, and they kind of deserved it, and I thought I was kind of sending a message to straighten them out. And God says, no. What you're doing is you're building a beaver dam against yourself, because everything, that pristine glory that's supposed to be flowing through your life, what you're doing is you're damming off a part of it. How many of you, like me, enjoy the chastening of the Lord? He said if we would chasten ourselves, then we would not be judged. Hallelujah. So Paul instituted this part. He instituted in 1 Corinthians 11 that we could judge ourselves and we could continue to walk in a place where we were free. Totally free. The Holy Spirit, He's the one. When we read what we were going to read, this is the sit-down, 13 through 17 of John. It's the sit-down, Last Supper. And Jesus girds Himself and He goes through, all 12 of them are there to start with. He washes the feet of Judas and all 12 disciples, all of them combined. And when he gets up, he said, "You see what I've done? The servant, or the Lord, the servant's no greater than his master. If you do these things, happy are you. If you do them, happy are you." Well, what had he done? He had just, it wasn't customary. It wasn't a Passover custom. Actually, if you were rich, pretty well to do, you could have servants or slaves. There's two words for servant. One is hired, the other one is actually owned. But there Jesus was talking about himself being an owned slave, a prisoner, given over to God. If you receive someone on a trip in Palestine and they'd walked a good ways, of course with sandals on, they don't have covered shoes. They didn't have, when they ate, this wasn't chairs. Hardly any wood. So the table that they would eat at was a spread on the floor. Hygiene. You'd wash the feet. And some slave had come and wash your feet. And Jesus bent down and washed all their feet. But he says, "I've given this to you as an example. That if you do these things, if you become servant one to another." Now, here's the deal. You can bake somebody a cake and send them a Hallmark card and still hate them. There were servants and slaves in Palestine that had to wash the feet of their... An act alone in the natural doesn't always... "Well, I'm going to put their face on my refrigerator and I'm going to see it." Look, an act in the natural doesn't always precipitate and solicit and put into effect some kind of spiritual response. But a spiritual response, something done in the Spirit. Jesus said in this sit down, "I'm going away, but I'm sending back somebody just like me. He will be your comforter. And oh, by the way, He will lead and guide you into all truth. And if you give yourself over to Him, the example that I've set for you will always be living inside of you. You don't have to go through it with pretense. You can go through it because this living one, this comforter, will come and He will comfort you." And most of the time what has to happen in that situation where you get to the next level is forgiving them. The first level is you forgiving yourself and saying, "I don't like my weaknesses and I haven't liked them for years." And usually we rail on somebody else because we don't like the parts of our own self that are still in bondage. But when we become totally reconciled with ourselves and realize how much Jesus loves us, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump. It's just crossing the street to being real, real lenient with a lot of other people and saying, "My God, this comforter's come and He showed me." Now, when I wash feet, although we've never done that, I don't know if we ever will, it's an example. But the reality is this. I can do a lot of stuff in the natural. I can go through a pretense, bake you a cake, send you a Hallmark card, take you out to lunch, and still never ever wash the offense away. But I cannot give myself over to the Holy Ghost, that He does not come. As Jude 20 says, "These are they which are sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself." What does it do? Keeps yourself in the love of God. And the reason why people usually will stop on it, they'll start, they'll hear a message like this or read a book like Dave's and they say, "My God, this is what I've been looking for. This helps me to be bigger than myself." Oh my, I can get past the deceiver because he's sent a lot of people in my life. You ever notice, as long as one particular thing is your issue, you'll get a long line of those things. It's like going around Mount Sinai until you learn to say no to it and say, I'm not going to go there again. Then it'll usually come back over and over and over. And if people can get your goat, and as long as the enemy can see that that's happening, then there's no need for him to devise anything else. He'll just line them up like a ticker tape parade, and they'll just get in line and take one number after the other. And you say, well, I can't wait till I get past this. Then I can go on with God. If you don't allow the Holy Spirit to come and teach you, when this one leaves, there'll be another one take this one's place. Well, give us some good news. I am. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Travis. He is your comforter, but misunderstanding Him will not employ Him. Because the moment you begin to pray, you say, okay, I'll pray in the Holy Ghost. I'll keep myself in the love of God. So you think, like Dave says, here's what most people think. The moment you begin to pray, okay, something does happen. But not understanding the process of how it happens will set you into effect where the deceiver will eventually nickel and dime you out of it. Because the perception is this. Once I sit down and begin to pray, okay, I'm working on myself. Is this ambition selfish? No, it's not. It's the most unselfish thing you can do, because the freer you get, the more of everything God is will be poured out to you, from you, into a humanity. But the perception is this. Okay, I'm going to pray here a day or two. And Jesus will ride over the ridge. And He will set me free. He'll ride up on some kind of white steed. And where I have been hurting at, He'll step off. And He'll lay His hands on me. And in a moment's time, my God, healings, blessings, power, and all of forgiveness. And when He jumps back up on His horse and gets ready to gallop away, I mean, because everything is so complete, He'll just turn, rear up. The horse will go up on 2 feet and I almost forgot. And by the way, and He'll throw you a couple grand and say, enjoy the health. Go to the mall and enjoy yourself for a few days. Hi-o, Holy Ghost away. Just doesn't happen that way. Because what happens is the Holy Spirit has to step into places inside of you that the enemy has been using for years to turn your distraction. But I can promise you this. He goes to work as a mechanic. If it happened that way, you couldn't keep it. Because no character has been learned. Nothing has been provided. This is why when He said over there, when you have suffered a while, He will perfect you, make you perfect, establish. It's not in His intent for you to suffer 5 seconds. But the growing process is the length of time that it takes the Holy Spirit to pray in you the mystery of everything Christ is to you, in you, and through you, and get you to a place where that line on line, precept after precept, day after day, He's praying the mysteries and building the character inside of you that you will not, there will be an impossibility for you to believe the lie of your adversary. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I have a living example. I never get it right, so if you want to hear it right, go task her. I preached on this, and my God, I feel like Noah. I'm still preaching the same stuff 13 years later. You got to give me credit for one thing. I don't know where to shut up at. I said, if you'll do it, you'll do it. And somebody that I love and is one of the most stable people I know, my secretary, going through hard, hard emotional time, and dad leaving and this and that and family affairs and all kinds of stuff. She made it up in her mind. I'm going to prove this guy He says if you'll just keep praying in tongues, something will happen. It won't be the high-o silver away kind of in a moment's time. But if you'll give Him time, the Holy Spirit, systematically, line on line. When she realized the message, it wasn't enough for her to do it at home. She wanted me to see that she was doing it so that the end of 2 months that she could look and say, "Ha ha, I'm just as depressed now as I was then." Mr. Smarty Pants, pray in tongues all the time and give yourself over to the Holy Spirit. What are you going to say about that? So I pray in there, but if I ever had to go to the bathroom or catch something out of the kitchen, somebody was sitting, most of the time I think, where Homer was at. Day after day after day, drive. And it was approving. "I'm going to prove to you that I can pray in tongues for month after month. And you're seeing, because Pastor, if I come and tell you that I've been praying, you might think, oh yeah, right, right, yeah." Because most people's praying is it's so shot with a shotgun, like it's got so many holes in it. Catch a moment here and catch a moment there. And don't get condemned over that. I'm just saying there is a process. That once you choose, it's up to you. Month after month, I saw her. Most of you have done this at home. You know, at the end of that, the story. You've heard it time and time again. A deliverance came. A stronghold was absolutely broken. And there never was the presentation of the articles of war as in saying, "You led me astray." There was an absolute breakdown in the spirit that brought her to another place, and she's been a living example ever since. Going higher and higher and higher year after year. And I'm only saying that about her to say this. You know this truth. And I've never been as more proud in a right pride for all of you that are going in, and that's the biggest part of you. But listen, if you ever get so mad that you want to spit and you say, "Well, I love him, but he tends to stretch all this stuff," make my day. We'll open up the church for you. And I don't believe this way. Now listen, I don't believe in like legalism. That's not what I'm teaching. And I believe you can catch him all during the day if you're working and then you get a few minutes, or you can be praying while you're working. I bet Travis spends hour after hour on that tractor praying in tongues. Mowing all those yards. Running that business. Most of you men and women are doing the same thing. But let me tell you something. If you ever doubt it, legally. See, I believe this is the only part I believe in legalism, that you are legal enough to get yourself to grace. And then once you get yourself into grace, you can forget the legalism. Prove to yourself that it doesn't work. Prove to me that it doesn't work. I beg you, keep a log. Show me that you could pray 2 or 3 months nonstop, hour after hour, every day, and still stay hurt, offended, depressed. And I'll quit. And I'll walk out. And I'll say goodbye. And God bless. But prove to me. Prove to me it doesn't work. Because you've been given a comforter. And your comforter is the Holy Spirit. And He wants to pray for you. And He wants us to live in a place where the enemy cannot separate us one from another. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hey, I like having the option even when I don't use it. Don't you? It's comforting to know, hey, something's out there. I ain't been using it, but... I have. But even when I haven't, it's like... Man, you mean this isn't the end? No. My God, you hadn't stepped into the end yet. Praise God. I'm glad I go to a church like this. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because when you think, see, sometimes they'll look at you and they'll say, I don't know what to tell you. It's beyond me. Well, that's the fact. If you don't use this, I really don't know what to tell you. But if you run to an end of yourself, know this, that he that comes before him must believe that he is. And the second step is, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Get past 1,000 grace lines. They're still plan two. And plan two can be the best plan. If that is, you're just needing to spend time and time and time in his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rex and Gerald. Oh, why don't you go ahead and put... Now, you guys know how we do this. But we didn't take up an offering yet. And I don't want that to stop this. And I want us to go right into it. But we would appreciate your blessing. And I believe for it. In fact, why don't we just pray over the offering right now and ask God to anoint your heart. Father, I love you. And I praise you and I thank you for all these. They're yours. And so I'm asking you now, in Jesus' name, touch our hearts. You are our provider. You're their provider. And you're the provider of this house. And all of everything that we need in this revival is made manifest through Jesus Christ. We don't have to squirm and we don't have to beg or plead, but we give you all the praise and all the glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Usually, when we preach and teach real strong like this in a good sense, because there's no condemnation in it, you'll have conscious checks, and all of us do. But don't go on any, let's say it like this, witch hunts. Just allow the Holy Spirit. I mean, don't try to figure out every little thing. Allow Him to illuminate your heart. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 instituted it because he said, we need to rightly discern the Lord's body. Now, he has two bodies. He has a physical glorified body and he has a spiritual body. But it was his spiritual body primarily that he was talking about, that we discern each other. And that we understand this. God, see, I don't care how far past real offenses we may get. There's another level of love that he wants us to walk into. Hallelujah. Because... Everybody, if you're getting along with this bunch, 75 of us, we're contending for a revival. There's a whole bunch of them coming. Thousands of them. And they're going to be babies in the Spirit. And they're going to have diaper rash in the Spirit. And they're going to be capable of stabbing you in the back and cheating you and lying to you. Oh, they will be born again. Oh, but the flesh will not yet be crucified. You'll have to walk in a place of love and discernment and usher in the babies and train them and still be able to be immunized against all deception and all fear. And there's a greater place in His presence. And this is what we get to give ourselves over to. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm doing good with our bunch. Hey, this ain't our bunch yet. The meanings ain't got here yet. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. All of the hookers that'll be coming in. And all of the first few months before they learn how to dress. See, all you Holy Ghost wives will teach them as loving mothers and not be looking at your husband saying, what you got, you. No, because you're preparing to go past pettiness. And then the liars will come, and the deceitful ones, and the ones will come, and they'll love to see what we're seeing, and they'll say, I want to promote this. Oh, take pastor to lunch. Here, pastor. Take this 10 grand and go get yourself something. Take it back and grow up in church and learn that we're not bought here except by His blood. Hallelujah. And we're going to a place called revival and intimacy and absolute integrity with the Holy One. Hallelujah. Then 10 years later, after they get to be a strong elder and there's no pretense in them, come back and give me that check. You're not buying anything now. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we love You. So when we come together and eat this Lord's Supper bread, we thank You, Father. We search ourselves and say, Lord, take us to another level of agape. This we give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys can bring that over here. After you receive this, and you can go back and sit. If anybody else needs prayer, somebody said they needed prayer that they missed the line, I'll be available. Gather with family, gather with friends. Don't any of you think yourself unworthy. Just simply, just if you're going through a hard test, and I mean if you did something horrible last night, 1 John 1:9 said, what does it say? I've got a place that I can go to His blood and receive cleansing. Hallelujah. Because if I confess my sins, He is so faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You for that blood, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, after that, you can bring up anything you have to give. And just, the Word actually said concerning this, tarry one for another. So if anybody needs prayer, offer that. Hallelujah. Candy and I love you. And we appreciate all of you. So, when Kathy gives us something, you can come and serve yourself. Amen.